about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't lead me about it. An age from the where the zipper ends, round under my back to my bunghole.
I know this guy down in Guatemala.
And now,
ladies, circle back up for our final exercise. Oh, and please bring your compacts. We're going to be celebrating our beautiful bodies by looking at our vulvas.
Our feature presentation.
Were you aware that was today, Allie? We were doing that today?
I looked yesterday, so...
Oh!
I know. Well, I mean, I'll look again.
Okay.
But...
It's kind of a group exercise.
Yeah.
We're all doing it.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 28th of February.
I feel like... does this happen to you guys where the show starts and you think, weren't we just on the air like 20 minutes ago? Like, how is it already another new day?
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's how I feel today. I feel like the show just ended.
Okay.
And here we are back at it again.
Okay. What should we do?
Should we take a little break?
For you.
A nappy sounds good, actually.
Oh, okay.
A nappy
does sound good. I don't know. It's just weird. Just as I hit that button to start the show, I thought I just can't. I feel like we just got off the treadmill, and here we are back on it again.
Yeah, don't call it nappy.
Okay.
Yeah, especially a guy born in England calling it a nappy. Isn't that a diaper?
It is a diaper, yeah.
Gross.
But you know what I meant. I meant a nap. You know, a little nap, a nappy.
A naplet?
No one calls it a nappy, do they?
A naplet. Yes, I like that.
Naplet.
A naplet is what I need.
All right.
Hey, I'm not very good at very many things, but I am excellent at naming my pets. That's kind of my specialty. I'm available if you've got a pet that you can't settle a name. You can reach out to me. And I'll be happy to do it. I've had great pet names over the years. I think you guys you don't need to comment, but I'm sure you all agree with that.
Why don't we need to comment then?
There's no need to because
well,
it's
why
understood.
Why don't you run through some of them?
Well, I don't know that we need to get into the details.
Just a few of them.
All of them. Tater Tot. I guess you guys remember Tater Tot.
Mm-hmm.
Santa's Little Helper, which I didn't come up with, obviously. That was a tribute to the Simpsons. I had.
Why don't you tell what kind of animal they were as well?
These are dogs.
Okay.
You had Orangey.
Orangey the cat, yes. Uh-huh. Cam Fong as Chin Ho, which was my...
That was my favorite.
Little dog, Cam Fong as Chin Ho, right?
That's an actor that played a role on Hawaii Five-0.
Yes.
In the 1960s or whatever that was.
Cam Fong was the 1968 to 1980, 12 big seasons on CBS. Cam Fong was the actor. He played Chin Ho, right, who was one of Steve McGarrett's right-hand men.
Right.
Atomic. I had Atomic Dog as well.
of course.
Linus. You know, I have Linus, my current dog now,
sure.
who won't shut the F up this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, you're hating that dog. You're hating Linus.
He's killing me. I'm going to turn him into soup. He will not shut up. Don is out of town,
wow.
And
yeah.
he's beside himself. He can't live in a world without her.
Soup.
Veruca, my other dog. You guys know about Veruca too.
Mm-hmm.
The late great Yum Yum was a pet of mine. So the point is, I'm great at pet names.
Sure.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
By the way, just as a side note, mm-hmm. one day we're going to have people call in. We're getting pets and let Bean name them.
100,000,000%.
Because he's so good at it.
I'm very good at it.
Best.
And I'm happy to do that, but I will tell you, I completely understand if it's a personal thing and you want to name your own pet.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of people, you know, they have a name in mind, for instance, that they're eager to name, but I'm available if you need it. But anyway, I say all that to say this, and I thought this was an interesting article because when you are naming your pet, but in this case, in this article, it's your child. When you're naming your child, you may think you've come up with the perfect name, but you may not realize that ordinary name in English has a very different meaning somewhere else around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Not that it's going to be a deal breaker in most cases because, you know, how often is your kid going to end up in Japan or something where there's where there's snickering going on, but it's at least something to be aware of if you choose a name. For instance, Pippa. Now, Pippa, been a very popular name the last couple of years because of Prince William's wife, right?
Yeah.
It has a vulgar meaning in Italy. In Italian, it refers to masturbation or, well, something you would do with your hand. In Swedish, it is also a crude term for sex. In Greek, Pippa is slang for a BJ.
So, all right.
Keep that in mind.
Can
if
we just call it a BJ?
Name is your kid Pippa. The Dutch word for the buttock is Bill. So keep that in mind if you've got a kid named Bill. You don't want him to, you know, go to Amsterdam.
Go to Amsterdam if you have a kid named Bill.
Right.
Okay,
good advice.
A good tip.
On the program today. Kiki in Tagalog, which is the Filipino language, means vagina.
Oh.
It also means crisis in Japanese.
Wow. That makes sense.
Allie, you'll know this one. Fanny.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with Fanny here in the U.S.
Mm-mm.
In Britain, though, it means?
It's your front part,
right?
Ladies.
Mm. The JJ. The name.
The JJ.
The name. The name Lisa sounds a lot like the Greek word for rabies.
All right.
Huh.
Cal. Don't meet a lot of people named Cal since the great Cal Worthington left us.
Cal Penn.
Mm-hmm. But there is Cal Penn, K-A-L. This is,
oh, C-A-L. Okay.
But I guess it's pronunciation, so it could be either one. Is the Russian word for feces.
Oh.
It's also the Bulgarian word for mud.
Hmm.
Todd, German for death.
Oh.
Mark, Norwegian for worm. Again, not gonna. It's probably not going to affect most people. Mark's a pretty common name here, right?
I don't feel like people are going to do a full search on what their name, you know, if they're naming their kid, what that name means around the world.
Well, that's why this article was written.
Yeah.
Is because most people don't, and then they may be surprised down the road to find out your kid Gary, which you think is a very reasonable, easy name to comprehend. He goes to Japan, all of a sudden it's diarrhea. Gary is the word for diarrhea. Nobody
Gary.
Wants that.
No one.
Bobby is a pig in Indonesian.
Mm.
Okay.
You want more?
Yeah.
All right. Manda.
Manda.
The name Manda.
Is that a name?
That's like, a name, right?
It's are short you, for Amanda.
Right? Maybe? Why are you shortening
Yeah, what?
No.
Manda,
I've never heard of.
No.
There's a separate name, Manda.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Okay. I need to look that up because there is at least one Manda I've heard of.
All right.
Anyway, it is in Russian, it is the vulgar term for a woman's genitals, it says here. So anyway, that's something to keep in mind if you're naming your kid because, you know, bad surprise.
Keep that in mind or go to my man Bean. Because he can help you.
For pets. I don't know about kids.
He can help with that all of the above.
This is my son, Yum Yum?
Yep.
Says here the name Manda is a Latin baby name. In Latin, the meaning of the name Manda is lovable.
Huh.
All right.
So there we go. All right. Please enjoy.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Pull it out.
Oh.
Barbara Streisand has cloned her dog twice.
Are you furious about this as I am?
It's insane.
I'm not furious, but I think it's incredibly stupid just because you're not going to get your same dog back. You know that, right?
And it's selfish. Any dogs all just up in those rescues, in those shelters,
but
waiting
not as good
to
as
be...
Barbara Streisand's dog.
Well, I got news for you, Babs. That ain't your dog.
Right, exactly.
And wait till you hear how much it costs, too.
Oh, dear.
It's World Star Wednesday today.
Yay.
He said, she said.
Oh.
On the program today. If you need some advice, if you're a couple and you're having some problems, we will solve them for you. We are giving away April Foolishness tickets in the 6 o'clock hour. We might as well tell you right now. We're doing it for five-second jokes. So if your joke goes 6 seconds, you're out.
Oh, okay? Wow.
Five-second jokes. There was somebody on Twitter that asked if men wash their legs in the shower.
Yeah.
What?
Apparently.
How did that?
It was on a TV show called You're the Worst, so I guess she started thinking about it and then reached out to people on Twitter, and wow, dudes are gross, is all I have to say.
It was a spirited debate yesterday here in the office.
It was a little crazy.
Yeah, concerning.
So that's coming up, and also, is this your best friend in Joe Bisbee? Jimmy Pardo?
He certainly is, yes.
Okay. Jimmy Pardo, comedian, will join us as well on Thursday.
I mean, I met him that one time.
On today's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Hey, Allie, what's happening?
We all know the movie Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Mississippi.
Missouri.
Missouri. Mm-hmm. Did I say Mississippi?
Yep.
I guess we all don't know it, do we? Good Lord.
It's weird that you know a movie that has such a similar title to what I saw.
I know. It's weird that they would do that. Yeah. Well, the mom, she puts up the billboards trying to find her kid's killer.
Yes.
Great movie.
Yes.
How about somebody doing that in real life, but for a totally different reason? Like Alexis Ohanian. He's the founder of Reddit, also known as Mr. Serena Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He put up four billboards, and he decided to do it on the way to Palm Springs. And he tweeted this. These just went up alongside I-10 into Palm Springs. Olympia and I wanted to welcome her back to tennis. Designed them myself with some help from Junior. And it's four billboards. The first one just says greatest with a picture of their baby, Olympia.
Okay.
Next one, Mama. And it's her holding their baby. Third one, of all time. With their baby in it.
Okay.
Then the fourth billboard, Serena Williams. Gmote. So, greatest mom of all time. From Alexis Jr. and Sr. How sweet is that?
That's very sweet. We're just trying to get one billboard when we can.
That's what I'm saying. He bought four all in a row.
That's very sweet.
It is lovely and it's delightful. And the reason I'm bringing you this is because of somebody's reaction to it. That made me laugh so hard.
Somebody up that got upset?
No.
Oh, kick it.
He instead tweeted, Kanye's about to put up a billboard up in front of all of them that says Mother Teresa is actually the gamote. So her husband saw that, retweeted it with a face like, not
is gamote a thing?
I think he's trying to make it a thing.
Okay. Hmm.
Because, you know, we say goat,
yeah,
greatest of all time.
I understand it. I didn't know if it was already something or if he's just trying to start it.
I think he's just trying to start it.
Why are these billboards in Mississippi, though? That's what I don't understand.
They're in Missouri. Question. No, they're up along the I-10 into Palm Springs.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I just thought that was so sweet.
That's very nice. For.
Bean.
Bean, I mean, can't somebody just do something sweet?
Well, he clearly screwed up somehow. And this
think
is
he's in the doghouse, so he's trying to get out?
I think so.
Can it be Valentine's Day every day in the Williams household
only
as well?
Bean.
It could be, but I think it's more likely the other.
All right. Very often we say, how much money does Netflix have?
Right.
It seems like they're just putting out shows every single minute, and then they're giving away hundreds of millions of dollars for those shows. Well, Netflix is set to spend upwards of $8 billion on content in 2018.
Crap.
They're going to have in the neighborhood.
You said billion.
I said $8 billion in content. They're going to have in the neighborhood of 700 original TV shows and movies on the service this year. I said 700, and that 700 range includes about 80 original productions from outside the U.S. So, you know, 620.
Only that many?
Making, you know, here, there, everywhere. It's insane. The numbers are nuts, right? But the CFO, David Wells, said that there's no religion at Netflix about the source of programming, although the company obviously wants to produce their own content. He said, quote, people don't care where the stories come from. We're about having the best content. We don't necessarily have to do it ourselves.
All right.
But
they do a lot.
But you are really doing a lot. Upwards of $8 billion. I was not expecting that much.
No way.
Well, I think they've got close to 120 million subscribers now.
And if you do the math.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to do the math, but I bet.
How much is that, Allie?
I bet your point is made.
Yeah, it's a lot more than $8
billion.
Is it?
Yeah. So.
It's more, you guys. I can't keep up with the Spice Girls. Is it happening? Is it not? I don't know. But Mel B was on the talk show The Real yesterday, and she said that all five of them will be at the royal wedding.
Okay.
So
performing?
That was Lonnie Love's question, because she is a GD journalist. She said, well, if all five of you are there, are you going to be performing? To which she threw up her papers and said, I can't answer this, y'all. No. So essentially, she would say no if they're not performing.
That's a yes.
That's a total yes.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I want.
trying to dance to this?
Really, really want.
I mean, if you're a British subject and Prince Harry calls and says, would you mind doing the wedding? I think you'd have to say yes.
You're going to need to work on that accent.
Can I hear the accent again, please?
I don't have. I can't do accent.
Just do what you just did.
One more.
I can't.
Just
I don't
one
have.
More time.
I don't do. Would you mind doing the wedding?
Really?
That's about as good as I got, too.
So I cannot do accents.
We are not talented in that
what
area.
What I'm saying is they would say yes. I would think no matter how much they don't want Absolutely. To perform together, I think that would be – they would consider that a service to their country.
Otherwise, off with their heads, right? That's how it works.
Yes. That's how it works in England, yeah.
That's right. Okay.
I know that we cannot interest Kevin at all in the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, but what
Just
if
the
I
opposite.
Told you
– Every story makes me more angry.
Yeah. What if I told you that you could see video of Queen Mum dancing to the Spice Girls? You'd want to see that.
She's not going to dance.
What if she did?
What if she's, what if she was a break dancer?
What if she was? What if she's like, I brought my cardboard.
Spinning on
her
head.
She puts it down. Yes. What if?
That would turn me around and I would love her.
Okay. Excellent.
Not going to happen.
Oh, I need that to happen.
Now you're talking about the Queen, not the Queen Mum, right, Allie?
Who's the Queen Mum?
There is no Queen Mum right now.
Then yes, the Queen.
The Queen, okay.
Why would she be talking about somebody who doesn't look, isn't alive?
When she said the video of the Queen Mum dancing with the Spice Girls, I wondered if you meant that had already happened when she was still alive, that existed. But you're saying in the future, if Queen Elizabeth dances to the Spice Girls, that would make Kevin excited enough to watch.
Yes.
Got
Why
it.
Isn't she called the Queen Mum, too? She has kids. There's only one
the Queen
Mum?
Yes, the Queen Mum is the Queen's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but the Queen Mum was never the Queen.
Right.
Okay,
that's
gotcha.
Right. That's right.
British.
Her husband was the king.
Whole thing's nonsense.
God, I'm glad we left those efforts.
Right?
Right?
Nonsense.
Didn't know that. I thought she was the Queen Mum.
Being a little more British accent, just a little bit more.
A little more.
I can't do accents.
Oh, that was a little Scottish.
A little bit.
That wasn't bad.
Although he was not trying to do Scottish.
No, he wasn't, which actually makes it awful. But... Oh, Bean, you're a delight. Happy birthday, Allie Larder, Jason Aldean, John Turturro, and Gilbert Gottfried. That's what's happening.
Got a tweet from Sarah who says, do you scrub your legs when you take a shower? At Kevin and Bean at Allie McKay. Mm-hmm. About 2 years ago, I saw an episode of You're the Worst, and this was a debate of theirs. It's been bothering me since, like mid-thigh to high ankle. Do you scrub? And we had this conversation in the office.
She saw this. Wait, she saw this on an episode of a TV show 2 years ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And has been thinking about it ever since.
Just trying to figure it out.
Sarah's holding on to it. And she needs answers. And I respect that.
Who doesn't?
Right here.
What?
Mike?
I would say it's 1 out of 5 showers I wash below my knees.
Well, are you just assuming that the soap is just kind of going to get down there at some point?
I was really thinking about this because I knew we were going to have this.
That's his thought on the b-hole.
I knew we were going to have this conversation, and I can't really figure out why. I've just never felt compelled. Now, yesterday I went surfing. I mm-hmm. walked barefoot for a mile in disgustingness. I washed my feet and my calves.
Just on a normal day, though, when you're not surfing.
Absolutely not.
You don't wash your legs.
I figure like...
Like your thighs too, or just below
the
knee?
No, like my upper thighs and obviously the genitalia region is
all... That's where Mike spends most of his
thoroughly
time.
Thoroughly scrubbed.
Okay.
In fact, maybe a little too much time. But I
your still, wife has questions as to why your showers are so long.
I feel like my feet go in shoes and my calves, like if I wear shorts, they're exposed to the world. And like, yeah, sure, soap will get down there somehow and... I don't know why.
So it's just Mike just counts on gravity.
I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of that, but I'm being honest. I don't really wash my lower
Dave,
legs.
King of Mexico?
I would say about 40% I do and 60% I don't. I just let the water let the soap do its magic.
What's the 60%? What's the rationale?
The 60%, I don't know. Just,
I take a nap.
Yeah, sometimes.
That's 60%.
Sometimes you have the time and you're, you know, like.
How much time do you need?
Right? Well, sometimes I like to enjoy showers and just, you know, it's a cold day.
Right.
No, but she's saying how much time you need to wash your legs. It takes.
Well, you have to scrub them and you want to scrub them
it
right.
It takes 30 seconds.
You know, and
scrub them right.
Let me ask this question because the witnesses for the prosecution so far have both been dudes, and Allie seems questioning this. Is it perhaps different for ladies?
I can only speak for myself, but yeah, whether you're shaving your legs, that comes into play, so you're using soap. But I use a loofah every single day with body gel, so I'm loofahing up everything.
Same, 100%.
You too, Chip.
Same. Yeah.
So you girls are doing your legs just like you're doing your arms. In other words, it's all part of the same body that in your mind needs to get clean by the time
you get
out of that
shower. And indeed, it is all part of the same body.
That is true. Not like if, but it actually is.
Yeah. How long are your showers?
Part of your body.
I mean, we're in a drought, Allie McKay.
Dave, how long does it take you to wash your leg?
To do something right, it takes time. Right?
To do something right. To do something right.
I mean, you just go whoop, whoop, and that's it? Or
well, that
how about
would be
you,
washing your legs, yeah, which you
how
are
about
even
you,
doing.
Kevin? Are you on the boy's side or the girl's side
I'm
on this
I'm on the
one?
Girl's side on this one. I do every shower.
Yeah.
And it only takes 15 seconds. Dave, it's not like a 30-minute process.
Do you put your leg up on something, or do you just bend over?
I bend over.
Huh. That also why did you need that visual, Mike? Yeah,
enjoy that visual.
That also takes care of the beehole.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I bend it over.
So, Kevin, are you washing the top and front of the upper and lower leg and the backsides, too?
Yes. It's
You're
not
getting
that
it all.
Difficult. It's super easy.
I think I'm more in the Mike and Dave
yeah.
side here.
Wow. You guys are savages.
Real where man. I'm not spending special time on it. I feel like
it's not special. They're your goddamn legs.
Right. I mean, she's not wrong. They're your goddamn legs.
let's go to Rosemead. Say hi to our man Leo. He's on line one. He may be able to shed some clarity on this.
Hey, Leo.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
First off, Bean, I don't know how you can reach down there. I mean, it's tall and it's like...
Well, I have gorilla arms, too,
in addition to being too tall.
You know. But yeah, I actually go... I mean, man, I go... I'm anal about it. I mean, no pun intended, but...
We're talking about your legs here.
No, but I figure I clean that area, you know, the butt area, so, you know, stuff's going to go down. You know, I mean, you got to clean the legs. I mean, all the dirt going down from everything.
Oh, how dirty
are you? I'll tell
you. Yeah, what's coming out of there?
Leah has a
balls of dirt, guys. He said.
Leah has a nasty, nasty beehole.
I mean, it's what? Coming out, I guess. But
are you a terrier? What do you mean balls of dirt?
That's not dirt.
You know, but I mean, I'm just saying, you got to do it.
All right, you've made it worse, Leo. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll never not wash my legs again after that.
Wow.
All right. So the conclusion is we should, right? That's what we're watching. That's what
animal.
We're all learning
yes.
today. Okay.
It doesn't right. take that long. Dave's like, oh, I don't know. I try to not to take long showers.
We're in a drought.
That's ridiculous.
All right. Good enough, you guys. Let's do it. Let's give away the second pair of tickets ever to the 10th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. An unbelievable lineup. Our friend Fluffy is back. Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, and the very talented Sarah Tiana. It's going to be a great lineup that night. DJ Mike Realm, by the way, providing the music and video for us as well. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Kevin, we want to give away a pair now, right now.
Yes.
How, though?
We want to do five-second jokes because people are not good at telling jokes for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to be 5 seconds. We're putting a timer on it. And if you go over 5 seconds, you're disqualified and you get cut off. So 5 second jokes.
So no long and involved. Oh, no, wait, I forgot. I left out the part at the beginning. None of those like people do.
Unless you can do all that in 5 seconds.
And is that the punchline as well?
Yes.
Oh.
5 second joke.
That's quick.
It's the whole journey.
Right. All right.
The beginning of the joke, the middle of the joke, and the end of the joke.
So
have we explained
whole
it yet?
Joke or
are they washing their legs while they're
1-800-520-1067 for your 5 second joke for tickets to April Foolishness. We are talking about Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness Saturday, March 31st at the Microsoft Theater, featuring Gabriel Iglesias, Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana, and Mike Realm doing the music and video. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10, but you can win them right now with a 5 second joke.
5 second jokes!
Is that the theme song?
5 second jokes!
We hate jokes.
We do. I really do. I
because
really do
people
not
can't
like jokes.
Tell them.
And which then is so funny because, again, as I pointed out yesterday, we're giving away tickets to an event where we are going to do nothing but watch people tell jokes
right,
for 2 hours.
Right, but they're professionals.
Right.
People start a joke and they say three guys go into a bar. Oh, no, I'm sorry. And then they go back and start again. There was a priest. Oh, no, I'm sorry. And then they go back again as a dog. And it just drives you crazy. So we're asking for 5 second jokes.
5 second jokes.
Okay. I guess there are just some occupations like comedian or surgeon that you leave it to the professionals. You don't want amateurs to attempt it.
Now, we do have a 5-second timer, so it is you get cut off, basically, if you go past 5 seconds.
Okay.
So it's not, we're not just saying do it quickly. We're doing it literally 5 seconds.
So we'll take as many as we have time for, and then we'll just pick our favorite, I guess. And if there is no clear-cut favorite, we'll do a drawing and find out who wins the tickets ahead of the on sale. We start in my screen just went
La Palma hard. With Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. Are you ready for your
5-second jokes? I am.
And go.
What happened when the grape got stepped on? He let out a little whine.
With time to spare, Mitch.
He has nothing but time.
By the way, I love that joke.
How do you love that joke?
It's just because it's funny.
Oh, I see. Let's go to Eric in West Covina. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You ready for your
5-second jokes? Yeah.
There's no way. Mm-mm. I'm telling you right now. Eric can't do it. Ready? Go.
Okay, why was 6 afraid of 7? Because 7 was a registered 6 offender.
You were right, Kevin.
Eric.
You were right.
For the love of God.
He is a little bit too mellow for this competition, I think. So we're going to hang up on Eric. I'm sorry, that was not a joke told within 5 seconds. Let's try Dan. Dana Point up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
The last guy got cut off. Can you tell your joke in 5 seconds?
I can do that.
All right. And go.
What do you call a fish with no eye? A fish.
I mean, technically it was within 5 seconds, but it wasn't.
Was that a joke?
It was a joke.
All right.
Because he took the letter I out of the word fish and then made it fish.
I gotcha.
I mean, again, we didn't say anything about the quality of the joke.
We should have. All right, Jordan in Ontario. Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
5 second jokes.
You have one?
Yep.
All right.
What's
hold on. I got to start the timer. Oh. Ready, go.
What's the best thing about Switzerland? I'm not sure, but the flag is a big plus.
I'm sad that I'll never know that punchline.
He said he got it out, actually. I'm not sure, but the flag is a big plus. That was the end of the joke.
Okay.
But he didn't really make it.
Not within 5 seconds,
though.
I'm so sorry there, Jordan.
Sorry about that.
You know, I think part of it is this our fault? When they do a setup, they expect us to say what or yeah, or you know what I mean? They're looking for some interaction, which we frankly don't have time for within 5 seconds.
I mean, I guess we could say what.
But you're on your own as far as I'm concerned. It's your time management.
Because.
5 second jokes!
Exactly.
All right. Let's go to Brandon in Eastvale. Hi.
Where did the spiders
wait?
Hold on a second, Brandon. We got to start the timer. this is a colossal disaster.
Right, and I don't feel like it's on us. We've
had four contestants so far. Two have not been able to tell their jokes in 5 seconds. Two have so far. Brandon, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
And go.
So where did the spiders meet? They met on the web.
All right. I mean, okay.
I mean,
he did it. Technically, he did it.
Technically, yeah.
All right. Let's try Mike in Riverside. Hi, Mike.
Hey there.
Hey there. You ready to tell your 5 second joke?
Yes, I am.
And go.
What do you call a lesbian dinosaur? A lick-a-lot-a-puss.
Listen to Bean.
I think
find something funny.
Mike may have just redeemed this feature because up until now, 5 seconds felt like an eternity.
All right.
But Mike made it work.
A few more. Let's go to Billy in Long Beach. Hi, Billy.
Hey, what's up?
5 second jokes!
We are giving away tickets for April Foolishness, March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m., but you can win some with the best 5 second joke. Are you ready, Billy?
Billy just said I can't beat Mike.
I know.
He's waving the white flag already.
But let's try, Billy.
All right. You ready, Billy?
Yep.
And go.
What did the whale say when he swam into the wall? Damn.
I don't hate it.
He likes the stupidest jokes.
One more, you guys.
All right. Let's try Miko in Universal City. Hi there.
Hey, when you wear chocolate sandals.
Hold on.
Miko.
Hold a minute. Hold on, please. Hold on. Okay, hold on. All right, Miko, go after I say go, okay?
Okay.
Okay, ready, go.
When you wear chocolate sandwich cookies as pasties, you've got Oreos.
Lady bringing a lady joke.
Right.
I like it. All right. Thank you, Miko. I appreciate it. All right, you guys. Well, that was painful. I'm going to tell you, we all can pick a favorite here and see if there's any kind of agreement. I got to tell you, the whale dam joke from Billy, not only was it a great joke and well told, but the fact that he rose from adversity and overcame his own self-confidence issues and delivered.
Take it easy. What kind of deep dive are you doing on these people?
I'm just telling you, I have a lot of Billy feelings, and he would be my vote. How
my
about you,
vote would
Howard
be
Kay?
Mike.
Mike is what Kevin says. Allie, your thoughts?
Mike had the lesbian dinosaur one.
I'm going with Mike. He brought it.
He
brought it and made Billy feel the wrath.
Right.
And although Billy came back, no.
Chip's going Mike, too.
So judge's decision, it sounds like, is Mike.
That's correct.
All right. Let's get him on the line.
Hey, Mike, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
Tickets for April Foolishness. For everybody else, tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m., but you already have your tickets. Thanks for playing the game. 5 second jokes! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Great show coming up here on K-Rock. Don't judge us by the first hour. He Said, She Said on the way. Also, World Star Wednesday. The great comedian Jimmy Pardo will be here. And also, cloning dogs in the news. People are paying unbelievable amounts of money to clone a dog.
Yeah, it's not futuristic. It's happening already.
It's happening. It's happening now. It's happening by it's been done by someone you've heard of. It's all coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, Allie, on this Wednesday morning, what's happening?
Why is James Gunn breaking hearts?
People
love James Gunn.
He broke some hearts yesterday on Twitter, you guys.
He's Guardians of the Galaxy guy.
Yes, he is the director of Guardians of the Galaxy. If you'll think back to 2014, the end of the Guardians of Galaxy film, Groot sacrificed himself for others.
Right.
Groot died, right?
Right.
But then in the closing credits, you see a little sapling, and it was like, oh, okay, well, a lot of people then thought, well, obviously, Baby Groot is just a younger respawn version of original Groot, right?
Spoiler alert, yes.
So that theory was shut down yesterday by James Gunn because somebody started discussing whether you would save Baby Groot or a Porg from Star Wars if you were only allowed to pick one.
And he weighed in on this?
He did. So a woman said, but you can grow Groot back, as evidenced in your film. Once you kill a Porg, it's gone. And hold on to your butts, guys. This was
literally?
This was James Gunn's response. First, Groot is dead. Baby Groot is his son. What? So a guy said, the other Guardians are aware of this, or some of them keep thinking he's a continuation. Like, this guy concerns me because he really thinks there's other Guardians.
Right, what's happening?
And, like, this is a real story. To which James Gunn responded, of course they are. Would you think an infant was your dead grandfather? That little jerk has no clue what's going on. People were losing their minds. They were finding it very hard to accept. Eric Ravenscraft said, look, let's be real. We all knew this, but none of us wanted to believe it's true. Cynthia said, I know it's the truth, but it hurts. People are really emotional about a lot of stuff. But did you think that Baby Groot was just a Baby Groot, or did you think he was a continuation?
I didn't think he was a continuation. I liked him on his own. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
You were glad effing Groot was dead, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
F that guy.
But Baby Groot's the best.
I just thought, he's just like a littler sweeping thing. Broom.
You did call him a broom.
He's a little broom.
Yeah.
That's all I thought. But people have a lot of Baby Groot feelings.
Yeah, well.
A lot of them. This is a very interesting story, which I love. A 1976 audio interview has been unearthed of Leonard Nimoy talking about his Spock ears. Turns out that when Star Trek got off the ground in 1966, Leonard Nimoy hated his iconic ears and was so unhappy at first that he was promised that after a number of episodes, the character could undergo an operation to remove the points. Did you have any idea of this?
No.
He's a Vulcan. Vulcans have those ears.
Apparently, Leonard Nimoy hated it, but it had to do with the first pilot. They had the wrong makeup artist. They just weren't really making the ears exactly how they kind of all envisioned it.
Right.
And he said, quote, they were making the these ears for me experimentally at first, and they really looked grotesque. And we went from three or four of those sessions. As time got closer to the final day of shooting, I became more and more concerned about the look. He became so concerned, he went back and forth with Gene Roddenberry and said, I insist on the ears. That was Roddenberry's thing. Like, you have those ears.
Right.
But I will write in an operation if the ears continue to be an issue.
How bizarre is that?
Can you imagine if after like four episodes, all of a sudden he's like, nope, got him done, got him shaved.
Got my ears done.
Right? Wouldn't that would have just changed everything.
And then the actors playing the Klingons would be like, oh, my face is so wrinkly. Is there any way we could smooth it out? Could I have a surgery?
Exactly.
And William Shatner would insist on hair transplants. The whole thing would be a surgery mess.
Just a big mess. But I just thought that was such an interesting thing to have unearthed in these interviews that they found.
Like such a tiny thing to even be concerned with.
He just wasn't feeling them.
Sure.
They were grotesque. I'd like to see those original ears if what we saw on TV was the final result that he was happy with.
Right.
I'd like to see those original ones.
Because they're nasty?
Just look like
janky ears?
Janky vagina or something. What?
Hmm?
What? What?
Like, I saw them at the tube last night.
Janky vagina? Yeah. Awesome, right?
Really good.
Leonard Nimoy wound up wearing 150 pairs of ears during the run of his series.
Really doing a deep dive on the Leonard Nimoy story, aren't you?
Really?
Getting deep into fun fact territory now.
For someone that's never seen an episode of Star Trek, I really was interested. Wow. By the way, no winner in Saturday night's Powerball lottery.
All right, what is it?
We're up to $293 million.
I mean, 300 or nothing.
300 or nothing.
That's
okay.
That's my line.
The cash value is $172.6 million. Mm. That's what you're walking away with, Kevin. You still need it over 300 to care.
For the most part, yeah.
Okay, I get it. Understandable.
What can you do with 172 million?
I've said it for years, right? Peasants. Poor people. Some birthdays for you. Actress Allie Larder, singer Jason Aldean, actor John Turturro, and comedian Gilbert Gottfried. And that's what's happening.
We've got Anaheim Ducks versus Columbus Blue Jackets tickets. Yay! To give away for the Honda Center on Friday night. Coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, and yet more tickets for you to join AWOL Nation in the HD Radio Sound Space at K-Rock. Get the details on both at K-Rock.com. Your chance to win coming up.
Mike, what does it mean on Wednesdays?
It means it's time for World Star.
World Star Wednesday on Hump Day.
Yeah!
Everybody scream.
Single greatest website on the internet. World Star Hip Hop has everything for everyone. And today I bring in what I think is a great sesh.
Okay.
We start off with a very young girl. I mean, probably about 2 or 3 years old. And she's just coming to grips with her ethnicity.
Okay.
She ain't happy.
She's not.
Oh. You're mad because you thought you were all black? Well, you're half of daddy and daddy's black, right?
Daddy's a boy.
Cam, why are you so upset about it?
I don't want to be all black.
You want to be all black?
Yeah. Because I think I'm white. If I'm half black, that means I'm white.
You're not white.
How do you know?
She wants to be all black.
Why does she already hate white people?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's weird.
I don't know, because it seemed like her mom was handling it pretty well.
Uh-huh.
You know, she what I mean? Like, it didn't sound like she learned that from her mom.
But absolutely
she
not.
She does not want to be white.
No.
I don't blame her.
We're going to keep the theme alive of cute little children. And this child, you know, every kid has the what do you want to be when you grow up question going banking around in their head. This girl has very solid ideas of what she wants to be when she grows up.
You told me I can be whatever I want, but now you're arguing with me that I can't be a black woman and I can't be a rapper when I grow up.
So what do you want to be when you grow up?
A rapper policewoman.
Well, you can be a white girl. And be a rapper too.
I'm not going over this. I'm not going over this, Sam. I want to be a black policewoman that raps.
That's very specific.
Yep.
She is deeply offended by Iggy Azalea, even at her own age.
I totally understand that as well. But she wants to be a black policewoman that raps.
Did she say, because I thought she said, I'm not going to go over this again.
Yep. Yeah. You can be, you know, you can be a white person and be a police officer and a rapper. Nope, not going over this with you, Mom.
He's laying down the law.
This guy does a great job of summing up this clip. It's very visual, but he describes exactly what's going on. Here you go.
We're looking at him right now. Swear to God, white dude, naked as a jaybird, on an ATV, running against traffic on I-29. The cops have a rolling roadblock. I swear to God, there's like 12 of them behind. This dude is butt naked.
Only in Kansas City.
Love it.
It's I highly recommend you check this out. It's impressive. This guy.
World Star Wednesday. Everybody's crazy.
World Star.
This guy
How
is very naked.
How far did he go
very
on naked. that ATV, Mike? Miles, right?
Oh yeah, he's going 65 miles an hour.
Wow!
And he
Whoa.
Went both way. He went the wrong way onto the freeway, and then looped around and went the right way onto the freeway for a long time, completely naked, not a stitch of clothing, not even socks. Full ATV action.
I'm fascinated by the human condition that wants to be naked in public. It just seems like people who are drunk do that. People who are on drugs do that. It's the first thing they can think of doing.
It's like when you lower your inhibitions, you want to go back to our base self, like the caveman ways. Why do we – this pretension of clothes. Let's get rid of it. This is the funniest clip I found on World Star probably since we started doing this bit.
Wow.
They started the Hood Olympics I believe 2 years ago for the Summer Olympics. Now they've come back with the Winter Edition. This is awesome.
And here we are to kick off the Winter Hood Olympics 2018. We have men's dice rolling. First up, we have Mark Phillips, a hood from one of America's most violent hoods. He's rumored to be one of America's best dice rollers, rolling only a 7 or 11. Look at how skilled this man is. Before he does his roll, he looks out for cops every time.
7.
And there it is, a 7.
7.
Living up to his name. The other countries do not look happy about this, knowing that Mark is going to get the roll again, and it's going to be an 11 most likely.
World Star Wednesday, everybody's crazy.
World Star!
That's awesome. The
greatest athlete of all time.
Yeah, I mean, he really is an impressive athlete.
7. He got 7.
Calling the shot. The Jehovah's Witnesses send out, I guess you could call them cautionary warning videos about sex and temptation in life. And someone over at World Star got a hold of this cautionary sexual video and added some sexy music and then chopped and screwed it. And it is awesome. Check it out.
There's no reason to be embarrassed about what we're going to discuss.
Avoid short skirts or dresses above the knee.
Some outfits are designed to feminize a man's appearance, as homosexuals try to do, especially displaying the buttocks and genitals. The buttocks and genitals.
The buttocks and genitals.
World Star Wednesday, everybody's crazy.
World Star!
And finally, our president was not excited or happy about the fact that he was not invited to the royal wedding, the upcoming royal wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Right.
And this man is giving some analysis about Donald Trump being upset about it, and I think he makes some very good points.
So Donald Trump is mad because Prince Harry didn't invite him to the wedding, to the royal wedding over there in England. I don't even know why. I don't know why you mad. You shouldn't even be surprised. You know Harry marrying a black girl. It's going to be a lot of hot sauce at that goddamn wedding. It's going to be some fried chicken. Y'all going to see the Queen of England try potato salad for the first goddamn time. They're going to be doing the lettuce slide. They're going to be doing the Charleston shuffle. They're going to be doing all the cha-cha, all that the hokey pokey, the stanky leg. What the f*** you going to do over there?
Wouldn't you love to see Donald Trump do the stanky leg?
I'd pay all my money. Like I said, I think the guy makes some, you know, a compelling argument. You shouldn't be surprised, Donald.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
What's up?
World Star Wednesday. Everybody's crazy.
World Star!
Jimmy Pardo coming up just after 8.
Jimmy Pardo, by the way, was on the bill for the Kevin and Me and April Foolishness a couple of years ago, maybe?
Last year, maybe?
Was
I don't
it,
know.
It was last
just
year.
Last year?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He came out and he took the microphone. And he said, "I got a new belt. Let's talk about it." That was his first line.
He is a great stand-up and a great podcaster. We are delighted to welcome him in the 8 o'clock hour. And you can still buy your tickets for this year's show. April Foolishness is March 31st at the Microsoft Theater with Fluffy and Adam Devine and Brad Williams and Brian Callen and Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana. They'll all be on the bill one night only. Proceeds, by the way, benefiting the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and Cedars-Sinai NICU. You can go to AXS.com Friday at 10 to buy your tickets for April Foolishness. And by the way, we do have, once again this year, we do have the up close and personal section. This year it's called the goodie bag section. And that involves, if I remember correctly, that's there's a t-shirt and an up close and a pre-party with all of us. And prices go as low as $30 for this year's show.
And we were talking about a petting zoo. I'm not sure that's going to happen or not, but we were talking about it.
We can't charge $30 and have a petting zoo. We had to cut back somewhere. But the show is at the Microsoft Theater on Saturday, March 31st. So make sure to make plans. Put an alarm on your phone so you don't miss it and buy your tickets when they go on
sale. You think Jimmy Pardo's going to be angry because he had to play at the Shrine and we're doing it at Microsoft Theater this year?
I'm sure Jimmy has played at a lot worse venues than the Shrine. I think that was fine. Okay. Hey, Mike, I'm glad you're in here. Allie, you too. It's been a couple of weeks and it's time to do He Said, She Said again. And what was the idea? How did we decide that you two were at all qualified to give advice to our listeners?
I have lady parts.
Yeah.
And Mike is married with a kid.
Okay.
But I've also had terrible, horrible relationships in the past and a divorce. So I feel like I can speak from anecdotal experience.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I've been engaged twice. I can screw anything up. Okay. And I feel like I give great advice that I never heed.
Okay.
Yay.
I think that's pretty common. So we're going to take calls from our listeners right now at 1-800-520-1067. So you are looking for situations, relationship difficulties that people may be in or questions that they would benefit from the male and the female perspective on the topic, right?
There is so many instances in life where men and women just don't see eye to eye.
Right.
And Allie and I are here.
Yeah.
Make sure that doesn't happen anymore.
So maybe you have an ongoing argument that you can't get past or whatever. We're looking for your calls, and we're going to actually just give you the answer today.
Oh, good. All right. So 1-800-520-1067. That's the number we'd like you to call and be on for He Said, She Said. And I've got a question from an email to get us started here today while we wait to take some calls. Last week, for the first time ever, I confessed to my long-term crush that I had feelings for him and asked if he felt the same way. This is an email from a lady. Mm-hmm. He basically said that yes, he did, but then he hesitated to move forward and wondered what it was I saw in him. He was self-conscious about not making a lot of money or having as much education as me.
What?
I have never worried about those things. I'm just happy that he has a stable job that he loves and he's a great guy. My question is, where do I go from here? How do I attract guys that are not so intimidated by my success? And how should I respond to those who seem to like me but don't like me enough to actually have the courage needed to date me? So I guess this is a self-esteem question for guys who won't date or don't think they can date a woman who is more successful or makes more money than he does.
Yeah.
What's your guys' take on a situation like this?
I actually have experience here. When I started dating my wife, she was actively on a sitcom, a network sitcom, was making substantially more money than me.
Right.
And I'll be fully honest, it was a bit weird. You know, it's a crush to your ego a bit. But
were you surprised that she fell in love with you? Because this guy seems to have a problem with, I can't even imagine that somebody like that would love me.
Yeah, I was. Well, and not only was she making more money than me, but like her past husband and boyfriends were all either successful professional athletes or movie stars and stuff. So
she's settling. Clearly.
So yeah, she's settling.
Slumming is the word you're looking for, Kevin.
The way I looked at it, and then my wife and I have now obviously come to grips with this, and it's been through a lot of work. She used it as a very good litmus test, because any guy who is so self-conscious of how much money he makes and not focused on the type of person he is is not the right guy for her.
Right.
And
I'd say that's true in general.
And it sounds like this young lady is perfectly capable of seeing past the fact that she makes more money than this guy and is really focused on him as a person. And when all this BS washes away, all the pretension of how much money you make or what status you have, that's really what it's all about, is like how much you enjoy that as that person as a human being. And so I get it, you know, from this dude's perspective. I totally understand being intimidated and self-conscious about it. But at the same time,
I don't, by the way.
You got to push through. You got to push through.
I don't understand
that
at
all. We've had this conversation before, and Bean doesn't understand
it
at all. Because I have said point blank, every relationship I've been in, recently has been a guy saying, oh, I want someone successful, someone that makes their own money, someone that then they get it and they're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't need me as much as I really need her to. And Bean's first reaction is, I would love that if a woman took care of me. And I get it. Every guy says that.
I don't even want a woman to take care of me. I like independence. Independence mm-hmm. is a quality.
Well,
I would like to be able to.
Isn't what we're talking
Bean
about. We're talking about
hang
a
out
woman.
With his wife, so he no, wants no. her to be very independent.
Right.
What I'm saying is a woman who has her own life and her own money, mm-hmm. and then I have my own life and my own money, and then where we intersect voluntarily is the yeah. sweet spot.
Like three
and that's,
times a year.
That's different from a woman making more money than you. It's very emasculating for a
it's
lot of men.
It's not emasculating at all.
For you.
See, for a lot of men, trust me. I speak from experience. Mike just told you the same thing.
And I want to ask you about that, Mike. Why do you think it mattered to you that your wife made more money than you?
Well, okay. First off, on a very superficial way, it was just a dent to my ego. Mm-hmm. You know, I always wondered, like, you know, if I'm gonna still insist to pay the bills and pay at, when we go out to dinner and
you're
do everything.
An idiot.
Because you know, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just being macho and stupid. But I'm gonna still insist on doing that. And then in the back of her mind, she may be thinking, well, we could have gone to a nicer restaurant if I paid.
Right.
And it's totally stupid. But it's like a weird kind of protector. You know, the man is gonna be the provider, mm-hmm. and I'm not living up to her standards. Now, my wife has pointed out many times, it's not as if you're sitting on the couch smoking weed playing PlayStation while I go out and earn money. You have a perfectly fine career and you've worked very hard to get what you have too, and you shouldn't.
Sure.
And I think that's where a lot of women are at. It's not about who makes more money. It's as long as you have ambition and drive mm-hmm. and you're doing your thing, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how much money you make. It's that we each have our, as Bean pointed out, our separate lives and our own kind of stuff going for us.
Allie, do you think that has been a deal breaker for you with some relationships that just didn't get off the ground because they just couldn't cope with you being successful?
Absolutely. And the one guy that said that was all he wanted was somebody that made their own money and it's so great, you have a job, you're this, you're that. Guess what? His little ego got severely trashed one night when we went out and people were recognizing me, this back in my news days, and people didn't know who he was. And guess what? He's now dating a bottle service girl and he's very happy because he can take care of her and he didn't feel like he could take care of me. It's an ego pressure.
Bottle service girl sounds like an upgrade, though, really, frankly.
What? Yeah. And, you
what
know,
is
not
wrong
to,
with you?
Not to harp on it and not to, you know, sound so corny, but it took a long time for me to realize when it comes to taking care of a woman, it has nothing to do with money. It has nothing
right?
to do, you know, it's really about
ooh.
Putting in work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right,
Mike.
So relationship questions, relationship difficulties, relationship arguments. If you want to call, 1-800-520-1067 is the number, and we will do He Said, She Said next.
All right, Matt, you hang on. Leah as well. We're getting right to your calls and yours as well. He Said, She Said relationship advice from Mike and Allie, 1-800-520-1067. Get right back to your calls after the Lumineers on K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067, relationship advice. Right now, He Said, She Said.
He said, she said, he said, she said, he said, she said. So come on, call up right now. We have the best advice in town. We've got the male point of view and females, yeah, we've got you too. He said, she said, he said, she said.
Things indeed. All right. Mike is here. Allie is here. Leah joins us on line two right now from Los Angeles, our first He Said, She Said caller of the week.
Hey, Leah.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. He Said, She Said.
What do you got for us?
Okay. So my question for you is whether you think it's reasonable for my boyfriend to not like the time it takes for me to do my makeup.
He gets frustrated with how long it takes you?
Yes.
I think we need to know how long that is.
So it is a little over an hour.
Oh, well, yeah, he's right.
All right, but let me ask you a question. Let me ask a qualifying question. What if she starts early enough that it...
Yeah, is it impeding your going out time? Are you late to things because of it?
No. If I know we're leaving at a certain time, I'm definitely on time. I get up early enough, but, you know, sometimes you're running out the door last minute. If we wake up and decide to go to breakfast, I like to sort of get dolled up.
You want to put your face on, right.
What, an hour plus, what circus are you a clown in?
this is not for you, Bean. This is
I'm
for
sorry.
Mike.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Paddle.
Who would like to start? Start.
I've made my peace with this. I think that that's insane, Leah. You sound like a lovely young lady. There's nothing you need to do an hour that you need to spend an hour on to make yourself presentable to go to breakfast. It's not like you're hitting the clubs every day. If you're going to breakfast, I think your boyfriend has a point. Like, come on, let's just get out the door. Throw on some jeans. Let's do this.
Well, here's the thing. If it makes Leah feel better about herself, I say take as long as you want. If it's a matter of he walks in and he's like, let's go to breakfast in 20 minutes, could you in those situations, not the going out situations where you already have the time allotted, but those last minute situations, could you then maybe do something a little bit different with your makeup and make it a shorter time?
Yes, I could.
That's a no. Okay.
Leah is pretty set in her ways, it sounds like. All right, I'm sorry to say you just realized you and your boyfriend are breaking up, but thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Leah. Let's go to line one. Let's bring Matt in from Burbank, please, up next on He Said, She Said.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Your problem, please.
Yeah, so I've been married to my wife a good 19 months now, and because of the way that she was brought up, she has this mental block to the point where she can't enjoy anything in the bedroom.
Sounds great.
We were both brought up really religious, but she had no sexual experience before our marriage. So when we got married, she'd been told her whole life that everything sexual is dirty and nasty. And so now she just can't enjoy anything, although she wants to.
Is heartbreaking.
That is very sad.
It is, man.
You need to... Are you available to get any type of therapy for her where she could talk this out? Because talking it out with you is great, but I think having a fresh ear that she can share these things with and work through. Because I understand being raised religious, I get that, and not really knowing what to do sexually, but maybe there's something else as well.
Mike?
And yeah. make that a female. If you can get a female FMT, family marriage therapist, or a marriage counselor, that will be huge because the last thing she needs is another dude trying to, you know, pigeonhole her into some sexual kind of corner. I'm sorry, Matt, but you got to be really patient about this one because anything that she interprets to be domineering from you is going to be
too pushy,
super threatening, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure she's not just as unhappy about this as you are. It's not like she wants this situation to exist. It's just, it's
been
her
beat into her whole life. Right?
Yeah.
Just hang on for like 10 more years.
Can you do counseling? Is that an option for you guys?
Yeah, I think it could be. I think it's just a question of how do I bring that up? Because the last thing I want to do is tell her, all right, you have a problem. Let's go fix it.
No. This is what you say. Honey, it's important to me that we have a healthy sexual life because I want this marriage to be the best it could possibly be. And I understand that you've had your upbringing and you look at everything to kind of be dirty, and I get that, and I'm totally accepting of that. But we have to work to grow sexually so that we could grow as a couple, or else we're in a bad place.
Yeah.
You agree, Allie?
100%. And I think the more understanding you are and the more sensitive to it and the more maybe you even say, listen, I've got my own hangups that I'd like to talk to somebody about and work through with you, make it both of you working towards it, not just she needs to get over things.
You guys, is it possible that just Matt is terrible in bed?
Oh, no!
Tremendously small dong.
Just a question.
Tremendously small dong, bad pelvic
Matt,
movement.
Thank you for listening and thank you for calling. I want to hear about the position, the pigeonholing that Mike was talking about. Yeah. That sounds intriguing.
Illegal in 7 states.
I got time for one more. Let's go to Becky Canoga Park, our final call on He Said, She Said.
Hey, Becky.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I told the person that I answered that I want to figure out how to get married, but it's more than that. A piece of paper doesn't mean anything. It's more about moving on to the next stage. Me and my boyfriend, well, don't even know if he's my boyfriend. We've known each other.
And answer your question, sorry. Don't marry this man.
You don't even know if he's your boyfriend.
Well, I mean, it's been back and forth. I mean, he did have to move out, and that was
Becky,
my fault.
Becky, stop it.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Listen to me. As someone who's gone through a divorce, you can't ever go into marriage with any of the, is this the right thing to do? Am I making a good decision? I don't know about the, because getting married should be like.
Oh, I'm
sure.
No, not Papa.
You're sure, Becky,
that you want to get married. You're not sure about this guy in any way.
Yeah.
There has to getting married should be like becoming a priest or getting in an MMA fight. There can't be any indecision. You got to walk into that like, let's do this. I'm so pumped.
Yeah.
Allie?
Yeah, Becky, if you don't even know if you're dating, I think that's the first clue that this is not someone you need to keep working towards.
Yeah.
Getting married to.
The dating thing is just Okay.
And getting married isn't a solution to relationship problems. It's not going to get better because you get married.
No, having a kid is.
Having a kid is the way to go. So work on that, Becky. Thanks for the call.
She said, he said, she said, he said, and she said things.
Comedian Jimmy Pardo coming up just after the top of the hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:51.
Allie, Wednesday morning, what's happening?
Are you ready to spend your Sunday evenings with Alec Baldwin?
Is he going to be yelling at me?
How do you mean?
Probably. yeah, ABC has hired him to do a Sunday evening interview show. The premiere of Sundays with Alec Baldwin will have him interviewing comedian Jerry Seinfeld and SNL cast member Kate McKinnon. And ABC plans to air the pilot episode immediately following Sunday's Academy Awards. It's kind of a little sneak peek into what the season's going to be like, because they, I believe, ordered around 8 episodes of that. So
I will tell you that I have listened to every single episode of his WNYC New York interview show that he puts out as a podcast, and he's a pretty good interviewer.
All right.
And he certainly gets great guests.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. You in?
Mm.
Yeah, I couldn't care less.
Right.
You're
kind of over Alec Baldwin.
Well, he's a whole lot problematic in my book, but, you know, that's just me not supporting people accused of rape and sexual assault. That's just me. That's just me being crazy, Alec Baldwin. Hey, Metallica. They're going on tour.
Yes.
How would you like to see every single show on their upcoming North American tour? Because the band has a decent deal, you guys.
Every single show.
All 34 concerts for $598. They're called Wherever I May Roam Black Tickets, and there's only 250 of these. They go on sale with the rest of the tour on Friday. All floor seats, and you just have to let each venue know that you're coming 48 hours before each concert. Which is an amazing deal if you consider floor seats are going for about $145 each show. So 145 times 34 is a lot more than 598. Who's with me? But that's a great deal.
That is a great deal. If you love Metallica, I think that's the best deal that's ever been offered.
Think about all the people that follow bands on, like, fishheads. Like, they follow bands on tour. I'm sure there are people that would love to follow Metallica, and then you see that price.
It'd have to be sort of independently wealthy, though, right? Just to
$600.
I know, but to not work to follow them around.
To not work and maybe be in an RV or something.
Yeah.
Does it say if they'll be doing this one?
Darkness impersonating me. All that I see. Absolutely all that I cannot live. I cannot die.
You guys, sometimes I feel the music, and it comes out of me.
Can't help it.
I cannot help it. Rolling Stones announced their first tour of the UK this week, and ticket prices are they're concerning to people that don't have a ton of money. To see the Stones at London Stadium on May 22nd, just to stand, it's going to cost you $555 plus a booking fee of $72. So that's a total of $627 to stand up to see the Rolling Stones.
Is that the lowest price?
Well, no. If you want to sit in the way, way, way back of the stands, the cheapest ticket.
Okay.
$282. That's insane.
That is insane. But you know what? They might be able to get it.
Oh, they'll get it.
Because I assume that their audience is, you know, mostly older people who are established and have jobs and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So they probably charge that everywhere they go.
Yeah.
Older people
shouldn't be standing that long.
Right? Break a hip.
Yes.
I think also you never know when is going to be the last chance you have to see the Rolling Stones. It can't go on forever. I know it seems like it has,
because
they've been a band for over 50 years, but at some point it ends, right?
Yeah.
And if you have a chance to see them, I mean, I think it's on. It ought to be on your bucket list to see the Rolling Stones if you can.
How many times have you seen them, Bean?
Well, the last time I saw them was the last time they played London, which was 2013. And I don't know, I've probably seen them 10 times in my life, I guess.
Wow.
I mean, I would say they're one of my favorite bands of all time.
Wow. Sure.
And they are unbelievable live. I know it doesn't seem possible because they're in their 70s, in some cases mid to upper 70s, but they are unbelievable live. So I'm not saying I certainly understand people not wanting to spend that kind of money for a concert. If you do, I think you'll have a good time.
Kevin.
Mick Jagger.
I can just about walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
I don't think I've ever seen them live.
No?
No, zero times.
Yeah, I think you'd remember if you had. Yeah.
That's not necessarily true.
That's very true. You are correct. We found out Stan Lee had been in the hospital at Cedars-Sinai, shortness of breath, irregular heartbeat. Everyone was super concerned. I mean, the guy is 95 years old. That is very, very troubling. But he released a video message shared via TMZ saying that he's starting to feel better, but he has been battling pneumonia.
Hiya, heroes. This is Stan Lee. I haven't been in touch with you lately. Had a little bout of pneumonia I've been fighting, but it seems to be getting better. But I want you all to know I'm thinking of you. Of course, I always think of the fans. And I hope you're all doing well. I miss you all. I miss your enthusiasm. I miss all the notes and the photos and the emails I used to get. And I still get a lot of them. And I want you to know that I still love you all. And I think that Marvel and Spidey and I had the best group of fans that any group in the world ever had. And I sure appreciate it. So let me know how you're doing. I hope everything is going well for you. And I hope next time we talk, I'll be in even better shape. Maybe I'll have some of this pneumonia knocked down. And we could have some real fun over the internet. Till then, excelsior.
I can just about walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
What is wrong with you, Kevin?
It wasn't me. That was him.
Hey, what kind of fun is Stan Lee wanting to have with me over the internet, too? I'm concerned about
no,
that.
No, he said over the incident, meaning
I thought internet.
Like, he could joke
he was
about
chat
having
chat roulette
pneumonia.
Me or something here.
Oh, my God.
A little concerned.
No, that's all I want.
I don't like 95 plus pneumonia, by the way.
No, agreed.
It's a real bad combo. Real bad combo. But it's good that he's feeling better and felt good enough to send out that video because people hang on his every word. They want to know that he's okay.
Sure.
So I hope to have some real fun over the incident.
Or the internet, whichever.
Either one. But till then, Excelsior. Seriously, you guys.
Yeah.
Such a cute little human. Some birthdays for you. All of these stars born on February 28th. Actress Ali Larder, singer Jason Aldean, actor John Turturro, and comedian Gilbert Gottfried. And that's what's happening.
Jimmy Mother Effin' Pardo is in the studio.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very confused because I was picturing an older, heavyset Latin guy. Based on the picture I saw yesterday on Twitter, and I thought, that's
it.
Jimmy Pardo?
You people are dumb.
And this little man walks in, and I go, that's not Jimmy. That's not the Jimmy Pardo I know.
Can we stop with the little man nonsense? I know the comparison
that
is against.
Was right. No.
It's offensive to me. Well,
and by the way, I will take the compliment that I'm younger than Gabriel. That part, I will accept that part of it.
Here's the thing. I tweeted yesterday, tomorrow on the show.
Yeah.
And I always do it this way, and I always put whatever I want to put a picture of last.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, tickets to April Foolishness, and I put up a picture of Gabriel Iglesias. Makes sense to me.
Yes.
But
maybe
earlier,
it would have made sense if you put the whole, like that, you guys on the burrow.
On the donkey, yeah.
Maybe if it was that photo, people would have understood. But since it was just a picture specifically of Fluffy,
right.
That maybe people were confused as to what was happening. And by
you
people,
also said
I mean,
the same
everybody.
Tweet, Jimmy Pardo's on the show,
yes.
And then
yeah.
There's a photo of Fluffy, and it was just.
The photo is always whatever's last about whatever's
last. But nobody
last.
Knows that.
It's my system.
And because it was last, it was almost an afterthought, too. Jimmy Pardo's, and also tickets. Here's the thing about the tickets. Nobody saw it that way. Nobody. People
Zero
quit Twitter.
People saw that.
Zero.
Did you say people quit Twitter?
They quit Twitter.
Oh, I've done much worse. I've done much worse.
Have you?
Yes.
I don't know if you have.
Oh, I have.
I'll take your word for it.
Tweeting.
All right. Well, I think I just want to make sure we have the right guy, though.
Yes.
You're the Jimmy Pardo of Never Not Funny. You're the guy who's doing the part Castathon this Saturday. Raising money for Smile Train, correct?
That's correct. Noon to midnight to here Pacific time, and you can stream that at nevernotfunny.com. We have 32 guests.
Whoa!
Over that 12-hour span.
Name them.
Well, I can't do that.
Name some of them.
You know, I can tell you who's been there in the past, and maybe there's a very good chance they'll be there this year.
Okay.
Our buddy John Hamm has always been gracious enough to donate his time, so mm-hmm. there's a very good chance he'll stop by. The very funny Scott Aukerman.
Love.
Will possibly be there. The very funny Andy Daly.
Love.
Nice.
For review on Comedy Central. Very good chance he may be there. Again, there's 32 folks.
You have funny friends,
Jim. Are there any women? How about you mention one of them? More than happy to. Maybe Tig Notaro will stop by. I can't confirm that.
Hysterical.
All right.
Cannot confirm Tig will be there, but
there's
a very good chance
but
he may.
There's a chance.
Very good chance.
Okay, I like that.
I sound like Red Buttons right now. It's not like
good reference.
Good reference.
Good reference for anybody. You know, Fluffy's age, according to you. Anybody older than me.
Hey, Jimmy. Yeah. I want to talk some more about the podcast-a-thon. Yes. And the wonderful work that Smile Train does. But there's a story we've been dying to get to all day long that we thought we would get your – we'd like you to weigh in on this.
Okay.
You're a big-time famous rich celebrity, so you probably know all the other celebrities, I would imagine, right?
Sure.
You and Barbara Streisand, you guys are close, right?
Babs and I sit together. Jimmy Brolin's been a longtime friend. So to go over – when Jimmy married Barbara, we were so happy for
Boom.
Him. He finally found love.
In business. All right.
And then you never talk to him again?
I don't know any of these people.
Okay. Now, do you have a pet?
No, I'm definitely allergic.
Okay.
I wish I could have a little kitty cat, though. I love him.
Yeah, Jimmy famously and with animals does not get along.
Okay.
All right, so Variety magazine just did a big cover story on Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
And first of all, by the way, she claims that the voting machines in 2016 were rigged against Hillary. Please stop with that. That doesn't help. We don't need any of that. Please take it back, all right? Second of all, and this is what really stood out to us, she cloned her dead dog. Samantha was her dog before he died. They took cells and sent it to one of those labs that clones your dog, and she created two cloned dogs from Samantha. Miss Violet and Miss Scarlet are their names.
No, I thought they only did one goat or sheep or something. I didn't realize that you could
literally... They cloned hundreds of animals now.
Oh.
Yeah. You could make as many as you want. So she has duplicated dogs, she says. They have different personalities, according to the interview. I'm waiting for them to get older to see if they have Samantha's brown eyes and seriousness. Just bizarre. By the way, wouldn't the brown eyes be evident already?
You should see the eyes in a child, yeah. In a little puppy, I would imagine, has eyes.
maybe
clone puppies don't. Maybe their eyes open when... I don't know anything about the clone puppy.
Isn't the reason you get a clone puppy is because you think it's going to have the same personality?
Yeah, the essence of your dog, that's what you want.
Who
not just that it looks just like it.
Right.
Give me a break, that's Barbara. Insanity. You're nuts.
By the way, I saw a clone puppy at Coachella last
year. Did you?
They
did
were,
you?
Oh, Kevin.
I hear they're very good live.
They're better live than in the record, I'll tell you that.
One company quoted in the article, Viagen, which bills itself as America's most trusted animal cloning company, charges how much, Jimmy Pardo, to clone a dog?
Oh, boy. Well, you got to have Streisand money, it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
You got to have she's an EGOT, right? Doesn't she have everything? She's got the...
I think she does.
The Emmy,
I believe
the
she's
Grammy?
An EGOT. Yeah.
Oscar.
Tony.
Let me see. You got to have Streisand money. What does it cost? I'm going to throw a number. $12 million.
Wow.
Am I low? Am I high?
$1 million.
You're way high.
I think that's way high.
You're a tiny bit high.
Let me drop it down.
$55.
It's
$50,000 is what it is.
Wait, that's all?
50 grand.
I would have thought more, too.
Well,
I mean,
because
50 grand is a lot, don't get me wrong, but I would have thought to clone a pet.
To clone a pet, 50,000 seems
there is competition.
Reasonable.
Guys, they started doing this back in 24. It cost way more back then. Now there's several companies that are doing it. It is 50
Did
grand
you say 24?
For 2004.
Oh, okay.
It is $50,000 to clone a dog, only $25,000 to clone a cat. Now, why would that be that a cat would be so much, I assume, easier than cloning
them.
A dog?
Hey.
Because cats are terrible
no,
animals.
No, cats
why.
Are the best. Maybe because they're tinier? What if it's a tiny dog?
This is a tiny dog. This is a 12-pound dog.
Okay.
So that's not it. Viagen says a truly special pet provides us a unique sense of comfort and life-enriching fulfillment, which is nearly impossible to extend beyond your pet's natural lifespan until now. So they are suckering people into believing that their pet lives forever because you're able to clone it. And it just nothing about this story. I don't care even if you have FU money. Nothing about this story makes sense because it's not your pet.
Do you think she realizes that? Do you think Barbara Streisand thought...
She's not a dumb lady.
I'm going to get my pet?
Yeah, I don't know.
She's and not Allie, a dumb lady. You're right.
You were pointing out earlier, Allie, that many people have taken Miss Streisand to task because, I don't know, maybe there's something else she could have done better for dogs with that money?
I feel like a ton of dogs and shelters or rescues that you can get that would probably be a little closer to Sweet Samantha or Violet or whoever than just putting fake DNA into a dog hoping it's going to have brown eyes. What's wrong with you?
She did it twice, you are nuts.
Too.
Wait a minute. Is that all cloning is? Listen, I'm stupid. I'm not a scientist, and we know that, right? I'm not here to talk science.
I am.
Okay, so let me ask you, Professor.
Uh-huh.
Are they professors? you're teaching science, apparently. Is that all it is? You take an animal that looks similar and put the DNA into it so it gets its traits?
Oh, no.
But it comes out of a petri dish.
It's your dog. You, like, swab the inside of your dead dog's mouth.
Right, then you put it in another animal, right?
No.
You grow it in the lab.
From the swab, from the DNA of your original animal, you grow another animal that's supposedly identical.
So it's just like a plant will just grow in the corner of my science lab?
I don't think you grow it at home.
They grow it at the lab, and then you pick it up.
At the laboratory. Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about, make sure I understand, because I'm also not a scientist. We're not talking about an in vitro situation or a fertilization situation where you put an egg and a sperm together. This is literally just you take cells from one dog and just put it over here in the lab, and it just grows into another dog.
Well, then, Allie, I don't disagree that she could do better things with that money, but isn't that different than just going to the pound and getting a dog? Because that's a risk. You don't know what that animal's going to be like. In this way, she knows it's going to be young Samantha, named after the character from Bewitched.
She doesn't know that. All she knows is that it's going to have traits that it looks
like
Samantha.
Those are the traits that she wants.
No, she wants the personality.
And you don't know that yet?
No, you can't have that.
It's not possible.
By the way, it's not possible.
I totally get people who are in love with... In love with a breed. I totally get people that want to have, this is a Coton de Tulliar, whatever the hell that
is. Never heard of it.
That's the dog that she loves. Then go out and rescue one of those in that breed.
I don't disagree.
Don't create your own.
Do you blame Brolin for this at all?
I think he could have stopped it.
I think he could have certainly stepped in at some point.
Any say in that relationship.
You don't think Jimmy B has any word?
No. Don't be ridiculous.
How handsome is Jimmy B? Let's talk about it, though. Gorgeous head of hair. Remember on Hotel, that beard? Let's clone that beard. Why does he clone the beard? Let's get that beard back.
Just grow it back.
That makes more sense.
Comedian and podcaster Jimmy Pardo is here. The charity event is Podcastathon, happening this Saturday, noon till midnight. It's sold out to be in the audience, but you can stream the thing on YouTube or nevernotfunny.com. We'll talk more about it and what else is going on with Jimmy, including the 3-week record you have of not biting your lip.
The world's talking about it.
Seriously, you got to be feeling pretty proud of yourself
Jimmy. Real proud.
We'll discuss right after this update. Our friend Jimmy Pardo in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show, comedian and podcaster from Never Not Funny, nevernotfunny.com. By the way, this Saturday, you can watch the Podcastathon. It's a charity event. Jimmy, how much money have you raised in your career so far for Smile Train?
We are attempting this Saturday to cross the $1 million mark. That is our hope.
That's impressive.
And I honestly don't know what the number is. I don't know if we need to raise $2 or $100,000. I really don't know. I know we're within. Oh, sweet God.
Sorry.
I know we're near, I think it's near $100,000 that we have to get to. I think.
That's amazing. Okay.
But seems like you could do that.
I think we can. Well, that's awesome. We've averaged 140 over the last
years. That's fantastic.
So.
And by the way, if you want to do the math, I don't. $250 provides a cleft surgery for a child, right? And that's what you're raising money for is the cleft surgery.
That's correct. It's $250, and each surgery only takes about 45 minutes. So for that little amount of money, and I'm not suggesting you have to donate $250, anything goes towards it, but you change a child's life.
I had no idea until we started having you in to talk about Smile Train how common this was for people around the world. I mean, this is not an uncommon birth defect, right?
No. Certainly around the world, it's more common. It doesn't happen here in the States very, very often. Really just sadly in your low poverty areas where the water or whatever is not clean and there could be something in the water that causes this birth defect. The woman is drinking the water when they're pregnant and then that's what the child is born with, the cleft lip or cleft palate. But the good news is it's not like it was when we were kids and the kid had it until he was 10, they can change it now. You know, we witnessed a surgery a couple of years ago where it was a little 4-month-old baby.
Yeah, you went down there and scrubbed in, right?
Yeah, I scrubbed in.
No.
I ended up getting lightheaded because I couldn't take the blood and I had to sit down. But the other two guys, Matt and Pat, they They I think one of them cut the stitches. Like,
oh, really?
The last, no like, way.
Yeah, like
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really
You're
great
such
to
a pussy.
To see. Oh, how dare you? How dare you?
I am right there with him. Right there with him. I can't.
So,
take
blood. Oh, you see the blood?
Not for a second.
Even on the and then also it's on a little baby's face, like it's a little baby.
That's scary. And it's very scary.
Yeah. So,
so you're raising money by doing the podcastathon this Saturday, where you're doing 12 hours of broadcasting, but you also have an auction. I wanted to make sure to hit the auction because there's some very cool stuff going on right now. For instance, I would say 80% of our listeners probably do their own podcast, and you could have Jimmy Pardo guest on your podcast, for instance. That's the type of thing you can bid on through eBay and win Jimmy as a guest on your show.
Now, are you looking at that currently? Is that still going for 170?
It's 162.50 is what I have.
Somebody dropped out? I don't know. Somebody lowered their bid by $8?
I suspect that has gone up since this was printed. So 170 is probably the more accurate number.
I hope so.
What other kinds of things are people, do you sense are the hot ticket items on your eBay auction?
Well, for our, you know, for the fans of Never Not Funny, the hot ticket ones are to come in and sit in on a taping of Never Not Funny. The big one is go to a baseball game with comedian Mike Schmidt and myself.
Wow.
That's going for close to $1,000 already.
Wow, fantastic.
Wow. And these things go up crazily throughout the day on Saturday as we, you know, reach the end of the telethon. But I think $1,000 early on that one is high. And then Doug Benson is nice enough to donate a couple each year where you can be a guest on his Doug Loves Movies or Get Doug with High. And those, I think, are close to $1,000 already, too. So
fantastic.
And they usually, all these things usually go for right around that area, $1,000 to $1,500. And I always feel that when people donate money to a charity, like, if you give them an experience or something, it's like they feel like they're, even though they're helping children,
right,
if you give them something, they feel like, oh, I'm also getting something.
Yeah, of course.
And so there's, like, a lot of signed things. There's, but a lot of them are experiences. We found that people seem to enjoy those more than.
Does anyone get to jog with you?
Oh, I couldn't take, no. No amount of money would allow me to have somebody alongside me. No.
You're just too fast?
Sure, that's it.
There is one item. I do donate to Smile Train every year in your honor, Jimmy.
And thank you.
I love the work that you and the team do. But there is one item this year that I think I might bid on because it's perfect for us. And that is the virtual lunch with Jimmy Pardo.
Oh.
So, in other words, I sit in my home in New Orleans and unwrap my burger.
Wow.
And you're in your house in L.A. and we FaceTime each other.
That's exactly what, you know, I used to offer have lunch with me.
Right.
And, yeah. So, although I think maybe being in person would be better than awkwardly sitting at my desk eating a Hot Pocket, but my apologies to Jim Gaffigan, but that's going for something high, right? Like $300 and something already?
Yeah, it's $330 last time I saw it. $330, yeah.
You can mute the other person.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It's connection. Connection.
Last year, you did do the in-person at a diner. Was that guy just a big dud?
No. That's a nice couple. They've actually
won. Pancakes, right? Something like that?
We went to Mel's Diner where the waiter once told us, don't get the waffle. Everything on the menu is great except for the waffle. Don't get that. It's terrible. And so the joke, because we laughed about that forever, so we said one of the auctions would be we go to Mel's and we try those waffles.
We have to have the waffle, right?
Late breaking. I just got a text from Eric Stone Street. He wants to donate 2 Dodger tickets to the auction. They're great seats.
How about that?
Well, that would be great. Hey, Eric Stone Street, why don't you DM me on Twitter?
Oh.
And also...
send you a message.
Send me a message.
I just want to get it out there.
Well, that would be wonderful. Yeah. Eric's a wonderful man, a terrific actor, and a very funny gentleman. He's friends with my friend Ty Burrell. And
he's the best.
Eric's great. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Eric. That would be wonderful.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So eBay, how should they search for that? Just podcast?
Never Not Funny.
Never Not Funny. Okay.
Or Smile Train.
And the podcast-a-thon is going to be this Saturday from noon until midnight. You can get all details at nevernotfunny.com. Before you go, Jimmy, we got some questions for you.
Here we go.
60 seconds with Jimmy Pardo.
1 minute.
How much money do you have on you right now?
Zero.
Did you have Olympic curling fever?
None. Zero.
What's the most embarrassing TV show you watch?
Nashville.
Why did you vote for President Trump?
Didn't.
Other than Conan O'Brien, who's the biggest celebrity you could get on the phone right now?
John Hamm.
Dog kisses on the mouth. Yes or no?
Zero.
A lot of people say no on that one. Would you ever try a banana and mayonnaise sandwich?
Never. Zero.
Would you consider being your closest friend in showbiz?
Zero. Come on, for humor. For humor.
Have you ever been in a fight?
Have I ever been in a fight? Uh-huh. No, I've been beaten up, but not in a fight.
Back to Conan O'Brien. Does the carpet match the drapes?
I've never seen.
Okay. What's the thing people would be most surprised to find out about you?
Oh, I don't know. People seem to think it's weird that I can't smell meat cooking.
What?
That seems to interest people.
We've talked about that on the show before, Kevin.
Yeah.
According to Wikipedia, you've recorded 3 comedy albums. Is that...
I'm going to let you finish it.
Okay, good. Is that enough for a person with your career?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Pardo, thank you, sir. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:38. And we need to mention that the Kevin and Bean van... have no kids, no nothing.
Am I on? Am Kevin... I, did you turn me on?
Yes.
I wasn't on. Okay. Yeah, the Kevin and Bean van...
Yay! ...is a thing.
That's it.
It's an actual thing. I'm looking for the paperwork.
I got it. I got it. For folks who weren't listening earlier in the week, we had a van that used to be owned by the radio station, The Sound, and they don't exist anymore. And somehow the van ended up in our parking lot. So Kevin just decided one day, because ownership is 9/10 of the law, as
he
explained on the video,
say that.
That it was going to be our van. So he spray painted the hell out of it. So now it's officially, it's janky, but it is our van. It's the Kevin and Bean van, and you can go by and meet the van right now and get your photo taken with it.
I'm not meeting the van.
You are meeting the van at the Delamo Fashion Center right in front of the Barnes and Nobles down in Torrance. So right in front of the Delamo Fashion Center, Barnes and Nobles, that's where you can see the van right now. And as I understand, the van has a driver who has tons of free stuff to give away.
Correct. T-shirts. Concert tickets, all kinds of stuff if you want to stop by, probably for the next hour or so, to see the Kevin and Bean van. It's a thing of beauty, isn't it? It's 8:39 now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin, this story is just for you today.
All right.
There are two types of people in the world, in my opinion, when it comes to gambling, winning, and what you do with the money, how you look at that money that you win.
Right.
For instance, you do the guys' night out poker thing a few times a year. If you walk in there with nothing and at one point you are up $200,
right?
Is that $200 of your money that then you are going to lose and be sad about? Or are you a kind of guy who can lose that $200 and walk out at the end of the night and going, I'm walking out with exactly what I walked in with. I didn't lose a penny.
If it's exactly what I walked in with, I'm fine with it.
Oh.
But let's say I walk in with $200 and I've got $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't want to give all that back. It makes a difference.
Well, you want your original $200 back, you mean, at least.
Yes, plus. You plus maybe like an extra $200.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
You want to make sure that you leave a winner.
Okay.
So, or a push at the very worst, which means you come in with $200, you leave with $200, you're fine.
Now, do you think, though, in my example, if you're up $200 and you lose it all, in your mind, have you lost $200? Or do you go, I didn't even have this money an hour ago.
Yeah, you
so
call it play with house
I really
money.
Didn't lose it.
You play it calling with house money. It's sort of like you didn't lose it. You clearly did, but it's sort of like you didn't.
Well, this story is fascinating to me. You may know his name. His name is Jake Cody, and he is one of the top poker players in the world. He's won world titles, European titles, won hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years playing poker. He's been professional, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. He's British. He lives in L.A. now. And he was at a tournament, the UK Poker Championships tournament, and split the winnings. It was a 4-way split pot.
Okay.
And he won $8 less than 60 grand as his walk-away money.
Okay.
So $60,000 as a result of his hard-earned work at the UK Poker Championships. He's at the Dusk Till Dawn Casino in Nottingham, England, and he decides that rather than go home with that $60,000, which I don't know, I feel like... it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. He probably worked a long time for that.
Probably did, yeah. He decided instead he was going to head into the casino, go to the roulette table, and put it all on black.
No.
Good move, bad move.
Bad.
Bad move.
Really? He didn't have that $60,000 when he showed up.
Right, but that's so much more. I mean, that seems like if you have $60,000, you want to keep track of most of that and walk out with most of that.
So
that you're an actual winner. If he put it all – look, even if he matched his buy-in and padded it by, you know, $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, at least he walks out a winner and he can put the rest of it on.
Yeah. Now, roulette, I have been told – I don't know anything about any kind of gambling. I have been told it's a sucker's game.
It is.
My understanding is that it's either going to be black or it's going to be red or it's going to be green, right? There's one or two zero and double zeros greens, right?
Correct.
So you have just under 50% odds of either red or black if you decide to bet at all.
Which is pretty close to the odds of all the other games.
Okay.
I mean, Vegas only has, you know, 2-3% odds.
Okay.
For the most part.
So he put his $60,000 down on black. Let's go to the tape.
Let's go!
Oh, man. So he's got his mates, and the ball is spinning around, and it takes a long time to spin because one of those big roulette tables where it has an upper deck and then it drops down into the lower deck. Here we go. Let's see what happens.
Oh, no.
He got it.
He doubled it.
Wow.
He got it. He walked out with $119,882.
Holy
yes.
Wow. Crap.
He doubled his money. Now, what did he do with it then is my question. It doesn't say, but he's a pussy if he didn't bet it again, right?
Until he lost it.
Until he just keep going, like that dude in Vegas who bet on the World Series. Just let it roll,
yeah,
man.
But he took it away when he was a winner, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He took it away.
Yeah, so, I think Vegas is built on people who don't take it away when they're a winner.
Because... like Muggs, he goes, I got a hot hand, man.
Right.
Right? Muggs feels like he can never lose once he gets a couple under his belt.
I can't lose. I can't imagine putting that much money on one roll.
Isn't that something? So do we admire him, or did he just get lucky and he's still a massive idiot?
He's an idiot that got really lucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm an idiot, so I sort of envy him.
Would you like to, in your wildest fantasies, would you like having the stones to be able to make that decision? Or are you glad that you're so sensible?
Yeah,
that you
I
wouldn't?
Don't think I have the stones to make that decision, because that's not a stone decision. That's just dumb.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with stones in my book. And I have a book of balls.
So that's not me. Tell us about this book of balls, would you?
I'm just saying, it doesn't take stones to do that. You're just an imbecile.
Right. Correct. And he's $120,000 richer.
Exactly. Yes. Very smart, very rich imbecile.
Yeah.
.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
There's a debate that is ripping the Kevin and Bean Show apart that has to do with washing one's legs in the shower. You won't believe that that's a topic, but it is. It will discuss coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Allie, Wednesday morning, what's happening?
I brought this up earlier. Serena Williams' husband, Alexis Ohanian Sr., tweeted this.
That's right, bro.
Tweeted this. These just went up alongside I-10 into Palm Springs. Olympia and I wanted to welcome her back to tennis, design them myself. And what I'm talking about are four billboards to honor his wife coming back to tennis. So the first one says greatest, second one says mama, third one of all time, and then the fourth one.
Get back to tennis.
Serena Williams. Oh. Gamote. So greatest mother of all time, basically. And I thought that was so sweet, and what a lovely thing for this man to do for his wife, and pictures of their baby on every billboard. And in comes Mike Catherwood to poop all over
what?
It.
Yeah, it's silly. I feel like you're all being hypocrites for not agreeing with me in that last week we all said, hey, here's a study that shows that couples that post more about their love online are actually more insecure, and their relationships are not as healthy.
So you're saying billboards is the real world part of social media?
Like, yeah. It's like social media on steroids. The guy who has to go and buy the billboards, and I understand he's very wealthy. But anyway, he could have wrote her a card. You're the greatest mom ever. And I just wanted to let you know that I feel that way. I don't need to put it on the freeway for everyone to see.
Wow.
You know what else is funny? She's probably going to take a helicopter and not see any of them.
I took it as it was a grand gesture, obviously, to
what's
put
he hiding,
four
though?
Bill. That was your initial response, Bean. But I don't know. I just think that
it seems sweet to me.
Yeah, to me, this just seems sweet, as opposed to my friend that posts 800 pictures of her hugging her husband, and then we go for cocktails, and she's like, that D-bag. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying he could do something in private to her that would mean just as much without anybody having to see it.
He True. Could also have put up the billboards without posting about it. Right?
Yeah.
True.
Or just old-fashioned skywriting. Who's with me? I feel
okay.
Like it's a lost art.
Yeah, it is a lost art. But I will say this. My favorite part of this whole story was a man named Travis Davidson that then tweeted, Kanye is about to pull a billboard up in front of all of them that says, Mother Teresa is actually the gamote. I thought that was very very funny.
I think this guy just wants his wife to go back to work. He's tired of her hanging around the house.
She just had a baby.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's
whatever. And she almost died having the baby. Remember that? Like, yeah. She had a horrible, horrible birth.
Yeah. Even more reason to go back to tennis.
Let the woman have her baby and relax for a minute, you two. I don't even know what's going on. It is not okay. Also not okay, the he said, she said, are the Spice Girls getting back together? Are they not? We don't know. However, Scary Spice was on the talk show The Real yesterday and said that all five Spice Girls have been invited to the royal wedding between Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. The interesting thing was they started pressing her for things like, what did the invitation look like? She's like, well, that's private. It was just, it was very proper and well done. Well, what about this? What about this? And they kept asking a million questions. Mm-hmm. And then Lonnie Love, God bless her, said, wait a minute. If all five of you are going to be there, any chance you're performing? And Mel B pushed back in her seat, threw papers up in the air, and was like, I can't with you guys. I just can't tell you guys everything. Which essentially is her saying, yeah.
Because if they're not performing, she just says no.
She says no.
So that's a yes?
It's a yes.
Go Queen. Go Queen. Go Queen. Go Queen.
I support it. I support them performing.
I don't care.
I know you don't.
But don't you mess with a Spice Girl because you're going to mess with me.
Right?
Said that for years. Mike, your thoughts?
I think that it's a little bit assumptive that a African-American princess is going to want the Spice Girls. Let's go ahead and bring someone a little bit more appropriate.
What's I think happening? That's presumptuous that she wouldn't like
she
the Spice Girls.
No, 3-6 Mafia only.
I'm sure yep. No one wants 3-6 yep.
Reunion.
Mafia.
That would make
nope.
me interested.
Reunion nope. show, right? Royal nope. Wedding, boom!
Then I would crash the Royal Wedding.
Sipping on some scissor. Sipping on... Come on!
That would be awesome.
Incredible. All right, I support it now. Yeah, who's going to watch the pre-show for the Oscars? The red carpet, because ABC has exclusive red carpet rights from 4 to 5 p.m. our time.
They do that every year.
Yeah, it started a couple years ago that they had, like, the exclusive. It used to be that E! Would be on at the same time, that type of thing. But the co-hosts have been named. It's Good Morning America co-anchor Michael Strahan, as well as The View co-host Sarah Haynes, Vanity Fair executive West Coast editor Krista Smith, and... the one to save it, the Goldberg star, Wendy McClendon Covey.
Nice.
I'll watch that. If she's there, she's amazing. She's so funny.
Can you recap that for us so the rest of us don't have to watch that?
Fine. Just saying. She's great.
Okay. It's
about time she got a little bit of love. She's on damn ABC, and I feel like they leave the Goldbergs out of a lot of stuff, and it's one of their number one shows.
It is a great show. I'm with you.
You remember that controversy a couple years ago that she pointed out that no one from her very popular ABC show was invited to present on the Emmys. Remember
right.
when they were on ABC? And it didn't seem like a real slight.
I remember it very well. It upset me. I wrote it in my my burn book.
You have a burn book?
As of now,
it's the
yes.
first we've heard of it.
Me too.
Like a wind talker? Like a code breaker? You burn it as soon as you write it?
Absolutely.
Oh, so mad!
See? That was me writing about it. So upset for the Goldbergs.
Oh, I'm so mad!
Yep. Happy birthday, actress Ali Larter, singer Jason Aldean, and actor John Turturro. Every time I say his name, I feel like Kevin, even though I'm saying it correctly. How would you say his name?
Turturro?
Yeah, but I feel like I'm slurring it. John Turturro.
I do slur everything, so that you are like me in that way.
And comedian Gilbert Godfrey. That's what's happening.
This is the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
What you got for us, Allie?
Hold on. Forgot we were doing a show.
Still putting in your headphones?
Putting in my headphones.
Okay.
Is this a bad time for you?
I think I'm good now.
Okay.
I appreciate you asking.
Time for what's happening. Here's Allie.
I mean, if this is an inconvenience for you at this
no,
point.
No, I think I'm good. Okay. I think I'm good. Thank you. I mean, really. It's the first time I haven't been ready. 3 years. Let's look at a track record.
You're not wrong, but it's also funnier for us to make fun of you now.
But what I'm saying is...
Right.
Really?
You're not wrong.
I remember almost every day, but Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
We're going to talk
a
little...
I wish you would move on.
We're going to talk a little Guardians of the Galaxy. Director James Gunn broke some hearts yesterday, and I can't stop laughing at how funny this is. So remember in the original Guardians of the Galaxy film, at the end, Groot died. He sacrificed himself to save everyone else.
Right.
But then during the end credits, one of his little twigs is regrown as a sapling, hence Baby Groot, right?
Hey, spoiler alert.
It's not really a spoiler alert. This was a long time ago, 2014, yeah. Right? So this theory has been going around that Baby Groot wasn't his own little entity. He was a continuation of Groot. He's just Groot, but as a baby.
Okay.
Here's where it gets confusing, in case I haven't made it so yet. A Twitter discussion happened yesterday over who would you save, Baby Groot or a Porg from Star Wars, if you could only save one. And a fan wound up saying, but you can grow Groot back, as evidenced in your film. Once you kill a Porg, it's gone. And here's where James Gunn ruined people's lives. He said, first, Groot is dead. Baby Groot is his son. People are like, wait, what? So this guy writes in, the other Guardians are aware of this? Or some of them keep on thinking he's a continuation? English not his first language, by the way. I didn't just massacre that whole tweet. That's what he said. And James Gunn said, of course they are. Would you think an infant was your dead grandfather? That little jerk has no clue what's going on. So, understandably, people were pretty upset. They found this whole thing pretty hard to accept.
Well, they found out Groot was dead. I mean, that's a tough blow for people that love that character.
They thought it was a continuation. So let's hear from Lord Ravenscraft, who said, look, let's be real. We all knew this, but none of us wanted to believe it was true. And then Cynthia T said, I know it's the truth, but it hurts. And people were in pain. They didn't want to lose Groot for a second time, even though they knew in their heart of hearts.
Sure.
Hey, that little broom.
It's not a broom.
He's a little broom.
Not really.
It's like a tree, right?
Well, he's like a tree that's made into a broom.
Okay.
When Groot dies, spoiler alert, that's at the end of the first movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so how did they handle it? Did Baby Groot grow up into a big Groot for the second movie?
No, he's just a baby the whole time.
He was a baby the whole time in the second movie. Okay. Yeah.
So the question is just the ancestry of Baby Groot.
Yeah, I believe in the third movie, they're going to actually send in their DNA. They're going to spit into tubes. And then the big reveal at the end is a big Ancestry.com deal. What the hell is wrong with you, Peter?
I was just clarifying the story. I just want to make sure I'm following it correctly.
He's got Groot feelings.
Well, join the club. Just know that Groot's dead. Baby Groot is his son.
Okay.
It's not a continuation of Groot.
It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. Sir.
It's okay, sir.
Get it together. Sir. I know. It's hard. It's hard.
We're all just people.
We are all just people. However, that reaction was very similar to mine when I saw a video on TMZ of Liev Schreiber and his new girlfriend in Costa Rica this week, just enjoying some downtime with his sons that he had with Naomi Watts. She's a former Miss South Dakota. She's 26. Ray Donovan, 50. I did.
Yeah.
Just saying, I love Liev Schreiber, and it's cool. I'm sure she has a ton to offer, and I'm glad you're happy. But,
I'm looking at the photo. She does have a ton to offer.
Does she?
And he's definitely happy.
Ew. How close up are you looking? All right. I mentioned this earlier, and I don't think I got the response from you two that I deserved. I got a great response online.
Okay.
But it was revealed in an unearthed interview from 1976 that Leonard Nimoy hated Spock's iconic ears at the beginning because the makeup artists weren't getting it right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He hated it so much so that Gene Roddenberry said, listen, if this continues, we're just going to have an operation and those ears will be written off the show.
Who knew that was such a big deal?
Who knew that that was even happening? That we could have gone just, you know, a few episodes with Spock having those ears, and then all of a sudden, an episode of him getting them shaved down, and it's a totally different character.
Hmm.
All right. Still nothing.
I mean, You got...
I know.
Yeah.
What about a documentary series on the late Fast and Furious actor Paul Walker? It's in the works at Paramount Network, formerly Spike TV. Deadline reports that I Am Paul Walker is coming from the same producer that did I Am Heath Ledger. So, and that was an amazing, amazing documentary series. So we will see how that turns out.
Paul Walker. Right.
Thank you. Thank you for that, sir. And have you heard the rumors that maybe Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is coming back because they've been filing trademarks for different things?
Heard the rumors, yes.
Well, now the rumor is it is coming back with a gender-bending twist because they have now filed paperwork to trademark Fresh Princess on all sorts of things like bags, backpack, clothing, footwear, and animal collars. So is the Fresh Princess of Bel-Air, like maybe she moves to Bel-Air to live with her uncle,
right.
Will Smith, right?
Because
she was, yeah, in West Philadelphia born and raised, but then okay. She has to head out.
Does she say, yo,
smell,
home,
you,
smell
later.
You later?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Why
right.
wouldn't she?
She would.
Girl can say, smell you later.
Right.
In smell West it. Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool and all, shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel-Air.
Right. Fresh Princess.
Right.
She moves in with Will.
I'm doubting that Will Smith at this point would be involved in a TV show.
I feel like he would.
Okay.
Yeah, get away from the family, wouldn't you? Some birthdays for you. Actress Ali Larter, singer Jason Aldean, actor John Turturro, and comic Gilbert Godfrey. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Ali, and drive home today. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Dana Gould. Jim Rome will be on the program tomorrow. Hockey Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille from the LA Kings.
Luke!
We've got your tickets for April Foolishness before you can buy them. We're going to give you those tickets tomorrow morning, and then they go on sale Friday morning at 10 a.m. And we're going to announce March Fatness tomorrow.